Good morning, everyone. This is Carol Ventura, the Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. I'd like to introduce CJ Rotella, Director of IT for Rhode Island Housing.
Good morning. This meeting is being recorded and available for review on Rhode Island Housing website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for the Board of Commissioners and specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers will be muted during this meeting. If during the meeting anyone has any technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Nicole Clement, and I am General Counsel here at Rhode Island Housing. I would like to share some information for those participating. Pursuant to the Governor's Executive Order 20-05, this meeting is being held via teleconference. Members of the public can visit the Rhode Island Housing website to view the agenda and information on the actions being taken. In the event this teleconference is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until we can reconnect and audio is restored. I would also like to provide some guidance to our Board of Commissioners and staff as they participate in this meeting. Please note that Chairman Red Venus will preside over this meeting. This meeting will follow the format and order as indicated on the agenda. Please remember to state your name prior to speaking. If you find that you are unable to participate, please contact us immediately, and we will stop the meeting until you are reconnected or are no longer muted. Now I will turn it over to Chairman Resinas to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, CJ, and good morning to each and every one of you. Thank you for taking your time during this difficult time to be with us this morning. This is a meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners, and I'm going to ask Carol Ventura to conduct a roll call.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman Resinas.
Here.
Commissioner Kevin Orth.
Here.
Commissioner Brett Smiley.
Here.
Commissioner Liz Tanner.
Here.
Commissioner Seth Magaziner.
Here.
Commissioner Steve McAllister.
Here.
Commissioner Maria Barry.
Here.
I'll now conduct a roll call of executive staff participating. James Comer.
Here.
Lisa Primiano.
Here.
Cara LaChapelle.
Here.
Bernie MacArthur.
Here.
Leslie McKnight.
Here.
Peter Pagonis.
Here.
Clarabelle Shavers. Eric Shorter.
Here.
Christine Hunsinger.
Here.
Nicole Clement.
Here.
Outside counsel Stephen Richard.
Here.
Thank you, everyone, for the roll. I'll turn it back to Chairman Resinas.
Thank you, Carol, and thank you once again. It would be difficult to overstate the challenges we all face in these perilous times. Our perseverance will be tested. I appreciate all of you watching over the fortunes and challenges and trials faced by Rhode Island Housing. A special thank you to the Board of Commissioners and to the senior management team and to the entire workforce. We will conduct the meeting as per the agenda. I remind you all that we will take roll call votes on all votes, and please state your name if you're making a motion or making a second. Let us start with the approval of the minutes for the board meeting held on February 19, 2020. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, Liz Tanner.
Is there a second?
Second, Steve McAllister.
Any further questions? Any discussion? Any comments? Hearing none, all those in favor? We will now take a roll call vote. Excuse me, we will now take a roll call vote.
This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the minutes of the Rhode Island Housing Board meeting held on February 19th, 2020, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Resinas?
Yay.
Commissioner Magaziner?
Yay.
Commissioner Smiley?
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
Thank you, Nicole. Let me turn the meeting over to our Executive Director, Carol Ventura, to present her report.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to start first with an update on the operations of Rhode Island Housing. On March 20th, we closed our offices to visitors. We have 157 employees either working in the building or remotely, and that is to support the essential functions of the agency. The balance of employees, or 66, have been classified as non-essential and have been furloughed. They are currently discharging sick, vacation, and personal time, and once this has been depleted, these employees will file for and collect unemployment. Rhode Island Housing will continue to provide health benefits for these employees through June 27th. We have implemented our business continuity plan. We have regular communications via conference call, email, and text with staff, providing them updates and guidance on agency matters. We have developed a COVID-19 policy and FAQs that have been distributed to all employees and posted on our intranet. An employee COVID-19 update page has been created to provide employees with access to current information, and this page went live on March 19th. All travel, events, and in-person meetings have been canceled. In our finance area, we had planned to go to market on a single-family bond issuance of $119 million on March 17th, but withdrew it because of the market turmoil. We continue to use the TBA market as it is our most reliable and profitable option at this time. In our business units, as you might imagine, mortgage demand has cooled a bit and volume fell 23% to $10.7 million in March. In loan servicing, we have had extraordinary calls. The period of March 23rd through March 27th, loan servicing staff fielded 8,000 calls from our borrowers. We are sending out financial hardship applications to borrowers that connect with us, and staff are processing those applications as they come back. In the development area, I'm very happy to announce that the trustees of the Affordable Housing Trust approved two proposals under our Workforce Housing Innovation Challenge program. The amount of the assistance is a little bit more than $3 million, and it will result in the development of 38 workforce units in two developments located in Providence. In our leased housing area, staff is expediting all requests for rent modifications due to reductions in income related to unemployment. We have no upcoming events scheduled within the next 21 days. And I will direct you to our government relations area where we have outlined some of the stimulus funding packages that will come into Rhode Island. Specifically, most of the resources will flow through the state's Office of Housing and Community Development. We are in close contact with the director of that agency and look forward to helping the state deploy those resources. We have suspended the consolidated plan process for the state, and we have an 8-week extension from HUD. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, we will proceed. The next item in the agenda was approval of external charitable donations and contributions.
Sorry, this is Seth Magaziner. I have a quick question.
I'm sorry, of course. Of course, Treasurer.
This has been addressed at previous board meetings, but can you just remind us what types of stress testing has been done on the portfolio? You know, if a significant number of these 8,000 calls lead to, you know, additional delinquencies, what kind of stress the portfolio can take and how that compares to the number of calls that we've been receiving?
We are in the midst of reviewing that. I'm going to turn it over to Carol before to talk about where we are in that process.
Yeah, happy to speak to that. We have had Our financial consultant runs stress tests on all of our bond resolutions, and I would ask Kara LaChapelle to speak to that.
Sure. This is Kara, the CFO. The stress tests that we're currently running are, we've done it a couple of different ways. The first one is if 100% of our borrowers were unable to make P&I payments. So if we did not receive any payments at all for the next 6 months, would we still be able to make our debt service payments? So our debt service payments are April 1st and October 1st, and all of our indentures were able to meet that stress test. Looking at it a different way, if we had 50% of our borrowers unable to make payments for a period of 12 months, we would still be able to meet all of our debt service payments, as well as meeting the requirements from the rating agencies.
Thank you. That's helpful. And I have just one other question, which is with the the potential for increased hardships, can you just give us a sense of what under the bond covenants Rhode Island Housing is able to do in terms of relief for people who are having a hard time? I mean, as I imagine will be discussed later, the federal stimulus bill has put a moratorium on foreclosures and for FHA-backed mortgages. I think there is pressure on other lenders and services to do as much as they can as well. Can you just give us a sense of what Rhode Island Housing is allowed to do under our policies and our covenants?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Magaziner. I will turn it over to our Director of Loan Servicing, Leslie McKnight, to speak to the tools that we have for our borrowers.
Sure. So there are a number of different tools depending on who the mortgage insurer or investor is, but the CARES Act that was passed by Congress and signed into law on Friday of last week provides a number of different tools, including forbearance, which I would refer to as phase one of this challenge. Borrowers, while they are unemployed, will be able to defer payments for up to between 6 and 12 months. When they resume employment and have financial stability, then they will be reviewed for a number of different loss mitigation options, including loan modification. That loan modification will give us the ability to take the payments that were deferred and capitalize them to the principal balance of the loan and re-amortize them at either the existing rate or potentially a lower market rate. In addition to that, some of the insurers have the ability to advance funds from the mortgage insurance claim to pay those delinquent payments, and they're basically put as an additional lien on the property. So those are the tools that we will be looking at once we get through this first phase of this crisis.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the question. Well, let's turn our attention to...
Chairman Ratzinas, this is Kevin Orth. I have a couple of
questions. I'm sorry, Kevin.
As well.
Yes.
And this is actually for hopefully some new business. I realize that our volume is going to be way down on the single family front, but I was wondering if there was any impediments out there to conducting our business and if there are some ways that we should consider to get around that. Obviously, inspections are hard. Maybe even signing documents is difficult. But have we digitized and done everything we can to keep that business going?
Kevin, this is Carol Ventura. Yes, we have. So inspections are continuing to happen. We are continuing to process disbursements under all of our construction loans. And we have digitized closings. So closings are happening. We have, I think, 5 scheduled. So we are moving forward. And from that perspective, it is business as usual.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Hearing none, let's move on to action item number 4, approval of external charitable donations and contributions. Again, Carol.
Thank you. This action is for approval of external charitable donations and contributions made by Rhode Island Housing to our partner agencies. I would direct you to Attachment A, which outlines a single contribution made by the agency, and this is for West Elmwood Housing Development Corporation. They are celebrating their 50th anniversary this month, and we have purchased tickets for this event. Excellent opportunity for our staff to celebrate and support a close partner. We certainly hope that this event happens, but staff recommends approval of this contribution.
And I understand that our management committee, chaired by Commissioner Smiley, has reviewed this. Do you have any comments?
No, we don't have anything else to add.
Thank you.
Other than our recommendation.
I'll accept that as a motion. Is there a second?
Second
by Maria Berry.
Any further comments? Hearing none, a roll call vote. Nicole?
Hello, this is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the external charitable donations and contributions, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezinas?
Yes.
Commissioner Magazina?
Yes.
Commissioner Smiley?
Yes.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
Thank you. Let's turn our attention to item number 5, preliminary approval of financing for securing the future of Building the Dream in Woonsocket. Carol?
Thank you, Nick. I would like to introduce Eric Shorter, our Director of Development. He will present this action.
Thank you, Carol. Good morning, everyone. Again, this is Eric Shorter, Director of Development. Securing the future, building a dream. The sponsor is NableWorks Blackstone River Valley. This is a proposed refinance of two post-year 15 LIHTC projects, Securing the Future and Building a Dream, both of which are located in Constitutional Hill neighborhood of Woonsocket, both are 100% affordable. Securing the Future was developed in 1998. It contains 46 units in 13 buildings. Building a Dream was developed in 2002. It contains 19 units in 7 buildings, for a total of 65 units in 20 buildings. NableWorks is proposing to merge these two existing LIHTC limited partnerships into a single entity. NableWorks intends to undergo approximately $35,000 per unit, or $2.3 million in capital improvements. The total development costs are $8.6 million. Staff recommends preliminary approval for first mortgage in the amount of $350,000. And capital magnet funds in the amount of $750,000. We discussed this at credit. One of the discussions at credit was whether or not this was the best execution for the refinance. Typically, when we have refinance, we look at a re-syndication. Because of the sheer size of this deal and the scope of work, it was determined that a re-syndication didn't make much sense. So this is a very straight or vanilla preservation deal.
Thank you, Eric. And the credit committee has reviewed it. Commissioner Orth, any comments?
This is Commissioner Orth. Just a few to add to Eric's. This transaction does include the rollover of approximately $5.4 million in existing debt. And I understand from staff that they're working through some underwriting issues, primarily on the rents, and crafting up a plan to make sure that there's sufficient cash flow to service the debt going forward. Credit committee did unanimously recommend the preliminary approval, and I would make a motion to do so.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Thank you. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, I will ask the council to do a roll call for the vote.
Hello, this is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of preliminary approval of financing for securing the future, building the dream, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezinas?
Aye.
Commissioner Magazina?
Yes.
Commissioner Smiley?
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
Thank you. Let's turn our attention to board action number six, preliminary approval of financing for Beachwinds. And Carol?
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. And let me turn this back to Eric Shorter, Director of Development.
Again, thanks, Carol. The sponsor, Beachwinds, is Preservation of Affordable Housing Power. Beachwinds is the redevelopment of two existing low-income housing tax credit projects at the end of their 15-year compliance period. Southwinds Apartments was built in 1977. The project contains 48 units in three buildings. Beachwood Apartments was also built in 1977. The project contains 56 units in three buildings as well. Development consists of a total of 104 existing apartments and six buildings located approximately 1 mile apart in Narragansett. POA intends to undertake approximately $70,000 a unit or $8.3 million in capital improvements. The total development cost is $33.4 million. Staff recommends a preliminary approval for a tax exempt loan in the amount of $17 million, up to $17 million, of which $11.7 million will remain as permanent debt.
Thank you. And again, the credit committee has reviewed this. Commissioner Orth?
This is Commissioner Orth. Yes, we did. I'd just like to add to what Eric had to say. This property is in a fantastic location for seniors and anyone who likes the beach, actually. It's in a high median income area within walking distance of shops and services. Definitely a property that we would like to keep in our loan portfolio. One item that was raised by staff in our meeting is that the sponsor is requesting an approximately $1 million of existing AHT loan stays in the deal. It looks like there might be proceeds to pay that off. So we've just asked staff to continue to look into that. But we were unanimous in recommending approval of this, or approval of financing for this transaction.
Thank you, Kevin. I'll accept that as a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second, Maria Berry.
Any further comments or questions? Nicole, if you could take the roll.
Thank you, Chairman Rick Venus. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of preliminary approval of financing for Beachwinds, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rick Venus?
Aye.
Commissioner Magazina?
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley?
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
Thank you. Let's move on to board action number seven, approval of community development program funding awards. Carol?
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to introduce Christine Hunsinger, who will present board action number seven.
This is Christine Hunsinger. This is a request for action for approval of grant funding under the Community Development Program. The Board of Commissioners had previously approved up to $450,000 in funding for this program as part of the fiscal year 2020 budget. Rhode Island Housing issued an RFP, which was posted on our website, the State Division of Purchasing website, and sent to approximately 800 organizations. We received 27 proposals in response to the RFP from 25 different applicants, requesting a total funding of $1,122,000. The priorities identified in the RFP were to support the viability of housing financed by Rhode Island Housing, promote home ownership opportunities, especially with outreach strategies to increase racial and ethnic diversity, promote energy efficiency, environmental sustainability, and to stabilize housing for Rhode Islanders. The committee consisted of executive director, the assistant deputy director of external relations, and staff from the Communications Division, Development Division, and Leased Housing. And we recommend funding for these programs as you can see in Attachment A.
Thank you.
The total amount for the programs would be $425,230.
Great, thank you. This has been reviewed by the Management Committee. Commissioner Smiley, any comments?
Well, I'm sorry to throw a bit of a wrench into the plans here. You know, this was, of course, discussed in the Management Committee before the current crisis. Could Carol or someone explain what the restrictions on these funds are to make sure that they shouldn't be reevaluated to see if the current environment necessitates a fresh look at some of this?
A very fair question. Carol?
Yes, happy to. I think that now more than ever, these resources that we are deploying will really serve this agency and the folks that we help every day in bettering their lives, particularly at this difficult time. So many of the awards will focus on moving people from homelessness into stable housing, or moving people who are renting into homeownership opportunities. There's also workforce development opportunities, and this is in conjunction with the new innovation hub that was created in Central Falls in partnership with Rhode Island College. Financial literacy, both for current homeowners and renters. So I think Commissioner, this is very appropriate given the times we're in.
Other questions?
This is Commissioner Worth. I have a quick question. Are we requiring that the recipients provide data and otherwise report on any performance metrics in their use of these funds?
Absolutely. Yes, we are. We are.
Okay.
I would accept the motion to approve.
So moved. Brett Smiley.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further comments or questions? Hearing none, roll call vote. Nicole?
Thank you, Chairman. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the Community Development Program funding awards, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Rezinus?
Aye.
Commissioner Magaziner?
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley?
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
Thank you. Motion passes. Let's turn our attention to the last item, which was recently added to the agenda in light of current circumstances, an authorization to increase the lines of credit. Again, Carol, if you could follow up.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I'd like to introduce Carol LaChapelle, our CFO, to present this action.
This is Kara. So Rhode Island Housing funds our mortgage activity through the issuance of tax-exempt municipal bonds and selling mortgage-backed securities into the TBA market. Our lines of credit are used for the initial closing and purchase of loans from our lenders, as a warehouse until we issue those bonds or until we pool the loans into the mortgage-backed security. As has been discussed, the current disruptions in the financial markets, we're unable to efficiently issue bonds, resulting in a much larger warehouse position of these loans. We currently have $110 million in lines of credit with approximately $20 million available. So we're requesting the approval to increase our lines with one or more of our existing lenders. We have four lenders currently in an amount not to exceed $150 million in total. So this would be an increase of potentially $40 million in our available lines of credit. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Gara. Questions, comments before we ask for a motion?
This is Seth Magaziner. Just a clarifying question. I certainly understand that you know, the bond market is in some turmoil and it's difficult to go to market right now. I'm just curious, what are you seeing in terms of the secondary market for mortgages? Are you still able to sell mortgages to investors?
We are. There was some disruption at the beginning of this, probably around the 17th or so that week, but it has stabilized somewhat, the TBA market. So we have switched most of our production to the TBA market in an effort to free up some of our liquidity. So this would be just kind of a backstop in case that market goes back into some disarray.
And do you know if this line would be, if you would basically be going back to the same provider of the line of credit, or would you be looking for a new lender? Do you have any sense of how long the term would run?
We would go back to our existing lenders. Over the course of many years, they have offered us increases, which we felt we didn't need at the time. And so we believe that this is going to be temporary, and once we get past this situation and things stabilize, we don't believe at this time we'll need that total $150 million. So this increase, we would reanalyze this in a year.
Okay. Well, it sounds prudent to me. I have no objection.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
This is Commissioner Worth. I have one more question for Kara.
Of course.
Kara, could you explain a little bit what our potential risk might be? I'm just a little concerned about the rate we might have committed to in buying these loans and then the rate that's available to sell them into in the bond market.
Mm-hmm. So right now, the rates that we have, we've been able to achieve our full spread in the bond market. In this current environment, we're not able to do that, and that's why we have held off on issuing any other bonds. The rates on the lines of credit are much lower, so it kind of puts us in a better position to achieve a little bit more spread before the municipal market firms up.
Kevin, does that help?
It helps. I guess to sum it up, you feel that there is not a significant risk that we would be holding loans at a rate higher than we can sell them into?
No, at this point we've been able to execute hedging in the TBA market so that even if the municipal market takes longer, we have that option and have been able to achieve our regular revenue projection.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Sure.
I will now accept a motion to approve.
This is Seth. I'll make a motion.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I will ask the General Counsel to conduct the roll.
When I call your name, if you are in favor of granting authorization to increase lines of credit, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Resines.
Aye.
Commissioner Magaziner.
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley.
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner.
Aye.
Commissioner Orth.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
Commissioner Barry.
Since Think of America is on this list, I'm going to abstain.
Thank you. The vote, there are 6 ayes and 1 abstention.
Thank you. Is there any other business to come before the board this morning? Before I ask for a motion to adjourn, let me thank you all for your time, particularly with all the challenges that we face. Thank you for your oversight, and most importantly, thank you for your public service. With that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Commissioner Retsinas, it's Brett Smiley. Before we adjourn, one other thing I wanted to note and thank the Nicole and everyone else. We've been working with a bunch of public boards about how to efficiently comply with the executive order waiving the Open Meetings Act while still preserving public participation and making this as appropriate and accessible as possible. And this meeting, in addition to a meeting that I serve on with Resource Recovery, I think have done the best job of maintaining both the letter and the spirit of the governor's executive order, and I'm grateful that you've done it in a way such that we've done the best that we can to comply with the Open Meetings Act and the emergency provisions there too. So congratulations to you all, and thank you.
Thank you for your kind comments. I'll ask the staff to take any credit that's due for that. With that, the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved, Commissioner Smiley.
And a second?
Second, Stephen Kalsper.
And again, a roll call. Nicole?
Thank you all. Thank you, Chairman. When I call your name, if you are in favor of... My apologies. When I call your name, if you are in favor of adjourning this meeting, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Chairman Retsinas?
Aye.
Commissioner Magaziner?
Aye.
Commissioner Smiley?
Aye.
Commissioner Tanner?
Aye.
Commissioner Orth?
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister?
Aye.
Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
Let me close the meeting by quoting a famous figure from the past, King Solomon. This too shall pass. Thank you all. Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.